Let's open the book of Amos chapter 3. The title of the message tonight is this. It's a move toward oneness. A move toward oneness. Amos chapter 3. That's back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. It's right after Joel. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Amos chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse 3. We're going to do an illustrated in just a moment, an illustration that I think will help get this point across. But I want to read verse 3 from Amos chapter 3. It reads this way in the King James: Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, in the Good News Translation, it reads this way: Do two people start traveling together without arranging to meet? Think about that for a second. Do two people travel together and not make an arrangement to meet and do it? You know, years ago, I traveled to downtown Milwaukee every day of the week. I managed for a real estate company. In downtown Milwaukee. This was in 1980, I guess, a long time ago. And I managed a building for a realty firm that owned skyscrapers. And a friend of mine worked downtown too, and so he and I would carpool. But I had to make an arrangement to meet up with him, or I would miss the ride, or he with me, or he would miss the ride. So if you're going to travel with somebody, you have to make an arrangement. So there has to be some kind of an agreement, right? And make an appointment, the Hebrew brings out, to do that. The God's Word translation reads this way: Do two people ever walk together without meeting first? I mean, at some point you have to meet, right? You have to come together, and there needs to be some kind of an agreement. Of course, we could draw the parallel to two oxen that are yoked together. If they're not yoked together, one would go this way, one would go that way. They smell something, they'll pull off this way. If they're not yoked together, you're going to have a problem. You ever walk two dogs at one time? Two strong dogs at one time? Yeah, we had Samoyeds and, you know, white sled dogs. And I'd take them for a walk, and it was real neat when they would just be nice until one of them smelled something. And, you know, and then the other one saw something else, and now you're, it can be a problem. The contemporary English version of Amos 3, verse 3 reads, Can two people walk together without agreeing to meet? So what this boils down to is there must be some kind of agreement for us in our lives with one another. In order for oneness to occur, there has to be a dropping of the pettiness. Now, listen to me. Pettiness has infiltrated the body of Christ for years, and people get real petty about things. Have you ever heard of petty disagreements? Little things. What does the Bible say about that? I believe it's the book of Song of Solomon, maybe Ecclesiastes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? They could only eat up so far, but if you eat out the bottom part of the vine, you can kill it. So it's those little issues in life that can clog up your blessing pipe big time. And so it's, petty things that people let get in the way. Petty stuff. I had somebody get mad at me one time. You say one time, Pastor Dan? Yeah, well, more than one time. But they came to me and wanted, you know, me to give my blessing on them divorcing their mate. And there was no reason to do that. I said, well, has this individual been unfaithful? Well, no. Has this individual caused you bodily harm? No. And the list went on, and it's like there was no reason. And I said, well, scripturally, you don't have a leg to stand on. Well, they didn't like that. So I found this to be true throughout the years in counseling. People like to go to counseling as long as they hear what they want to hear. Have you ever noticed that? Those of you that have counseled, is that true? The minute you tell them something they don't really want to hear, that person doesn't hear from God, don't you know? Here's what the word says, you know. But see, it's petty little things that can cause a lot of destruction, not only in a marriage, but in a church, in a business, in a classroom, all that kind of stuff. You know, cliques form, and it's normally based on petty differences. And, you know, well, we do it this way. Well, we do it this way. We do it this way. And so those little things stop oneness from really occurring. So I like the way the King James puts it, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the whole concept of agreement is there. The whole concept of getting into agreement with somebody or coming into a place of unity with them or harmony with them, of course, you have to meet in order to do that. And for some people, just meeting up with somebody else means putting down some petty things. Have you ever had the Lord tell you that you need to bless somebody that has done you wrong? It's real easy to bless the one that is nice to you, but the Lord says, I want you to send this person a plant or something, and they've been nasty to you. That takes a step of faith, and it takes the person who's going to step into that area, takes a little bit of gumption, amen, to do it. Because the feelings will come in, and you're going, oh, wait a minute, yeah, right. I'll spend $40 on a plant and send it to them, and they'll see it and throw it in the trash. Why should I do that? If the Lord tells you to do something like that, you do that, amen. Bless those that curse you and use you and despitefully and treat you in a spiteful manner or fashion, sure. But here, I like this, just this whole concept of agreement. But the pettiness is something that every one of us have to address, amen? Because pettiness will get in the way of unity. Normally, it's not the big issues. Normally, it's the little things. They looked at me the wrong way. They didn't like this about something I did or said or the way I dress or look or what have you. You know, that kind of thing. So you need to be very, very cautious of that. But I will say this, that others have valuable input. Others have gifts that can and will bless others. So we need to learn how to function together within the gifts that the Lord has placed in our lives. You know, I was thinking about Marty yesterday. As I was preparing and getting things put together. And I thought, his gift is different than most anybody I think I've ever met. I mean, Marty is a very unique individual. I love him dearly, you know. He can be as serious as can be, and he can be joking and spitting and blowing, and praise God for it. But I've seen him operate in a very stern fashion already. He can teach the word. He's called to do more of the evangelizing kind of thing, but he'll preach the teach and teach the preach. And now the prophetic thing has come into his life, and we praise God for it. But it's a different ministry, but it's a valuable ministry, and it's one that we need. Not everybody functions the same way. Why do you have a menu at a restaurant? Because some like it spicy. Some don't. Yeah, that's me. Don't give me hot food, you know. Some like eggs for breakfast. Others want a burrito. You know, I don't know. We have that at the men's meeting, don't we? Variety is the spice of life. There's nothing wrong with variety. Take a look around you right now. Just look around this room. Yeah, you see variety? How come everybody doesn't look like me? Thank God we don't. You always got a wise gal in the bunch, don't you? Thank you, Marvin. Thank you. Well, I mean, variety, differences. Differences are good. Differences can be uncomfortable, but differences are good. Now, Psalm 133, let's go there, and I need Pastor John and Austin to come on up. Psalm 133, y'all know this verse. Behold, verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together in unity. I like that. It's good. It's good for us to be unified. It's good for us to find harmony and agreement in what we do. Amen. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to play the song that we played last tonight. What's it called? No, not Fortress. That was Day After Day is what it is. And Pastor John's going to lead us. And so I want you just to join in with the singing. That would be fine.
So you're probably wondering what we're going to do, huh? I am too. I guess we're just going to sing, okay? You're going to give me a... Okay, here we go. Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains. You want to do it again? Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains. Deep within my heart, I'm crying out for you. Wrap your loving arms around my heart. Each and every day, I give you all my praise. I am falling so in love with you. Your love is higher than the mountain. Your grace is deeper than the sea. Your mercy never ceases to amaze me. Day after day, your love for me remains. Day after day, your love for me remains. Morning by morning, my eyes can see the sun. All of the worries fade away. Jesus, Jesus, my Savior, you are the music of my heart. You gave me a reason to give my very best.
Disagreement.
My gift is important. And I think we ought to play like that. Well, okay, go with me this time. Go with me. You ready? But it's my gift. It's my gift to you. And I really think that the gift that's like the most anointed ought to be the one that's out in front. Don't you?
I have no opinion.
I'm going to avoid. Okay, right. so you get the point here. Yes. not every.
Well, we could do a different version if you want.
we will save that for the WFC one of these weeks. Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given or done for them by my Father which is in heaven. The word agree is an interesting word. In Greek, I didn't, again, put the Hebrew word out there, but the Greek word that's used in the New Testament in a lot of places is symphoneo. We get the English word symphony from it. Symphony means a unity of instruments, and they blend. One doesn't stand out above the others. Now, there are points in a song, and you'll hear it during the praise sets, where he'll hit a pedal, and it'll bring the lead sound up above the rest of the music momentarily, and then he'll click back down and come back down to normal volume. And that's fine. It's meant to be that way for that moment. But everybody's playing something that blends and jives, at least supposed to, with one another, amen? And the singers are doing the same thing. And then you as a congregation, you enter in and it makes a symphony of agreement in musical notes before the Lord. Now somebody say, well, yeah, but what if mine's not as musical as somebody else's? Well, God loves it when we make a joyful noise to him, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about necessarily singing on key every time, because not everybody does. But, I don't know, I can't hear y'all, but the fact of the matter is, I know people don't all sing on key, okay? Is that a fair thing to say? Fine, all right, well, but gifts are that way. Gifts vary from individual to individual. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 quickly. We're not going to do much more on this, but it's something that we have to learn to do with one another, is flow together one with another. We are in the body. We have varying talents, anointings, giftings, strengths in our lives. And it's very, very important that we utilize the strengths that the Lord's put into us and not fight one another with our strengths and not dispute with one another over a weakness. Not everybody's strong in the same area. And if we're going to blend, there ends up needing to be, in each of us, some yielding to one another. You know what makes for a 32-year marriage that's being blessed of God? What's that? Unity. Amen. Any other words? Communication. What else? Forgiveness. Thank you. Compromise. Yeah. Meet in the middle. Because sometimes reaching a place of agreement means not getting your own way 100%. You know. And just make an appointment. No. But good marriages go through times where they don't always agree, but you find a place of agreement in order to get through the and navigate the waters that get a little rough from time to time. Do you honestly think in 32 years we haven't had a disagreement? Sure. I remember the week she told me that she thought earrings looked good on a man. Ticked me off. You remember that?
That's not exactly what I said.
It's not exactly what she said. So we're not in agreement. Yeah, right in front of everybody, huh? How's that? No, so, you know, I was like, man, I mean, and the Lord checked me on it because my attitude was not real good about that. And so I took it before the Lord in prayer. And I'll tell you what I could have done. I could have said, you're wrong. I'm right. I don't want to ever hear that again. Oh, yeah, right. You know, here comes the 9-inch saucepan, you know. No, it was resolved. The Lord, I got before the Lord. So what I didn't do is bow up and say, it's this way, it's my way or the highway, woman. I said, Lord, what about this? He said, go into my word. They got to looking in the word and it talked about that, you know, I mean, it's not that outward thing. Back in the day, I remember that there was a certain ear that if a guy liked guys, he wore an earring in that ear. And if he looked at you and that diamond had a sparkle and there was a sparkle in his eye toward you, you needed to avoid that. And so I never was quite sure which ear is it. Now it doesn't matter. It was the left ear. Depends on which coast. You know what? You remember that guy that used to sell me all that clothing at that place in Milwaukee? He was always so nice to me. He had an earring in one of those ears. You lie, you fry. Anyway, so, yeah, right, you know, but... But agreement is, Ann and I reached a place of agreement, and it was like it was not an issue after that anymore. And it's really not. I mean, you know, what's the big deal if a guy wears an earring? A good man in this church, you remember Calvin. Calvin wore two earrings. Calvin looked like Mr. Clean. He was built about, like, I love Calvin. I mean, I, you know, did his home going. Man, it is like, I don't care. Then we hired a drummer who had earrings in his nose. Eyebrows. Yeah, yeah. Sweet guy, man, you know. So you're like, come on. Reaching a place of agreement means putting down some petty disagreements, okay? Now look here in 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll wrap this up. So you saw in the display, we were going along fine until he broke into something he shouldn't have broken into, and I broke ranks and started to do something that I felt was my gift. And the only one that stayed true was Pastor John. We made it tough for him to sing in key there for a moment. But in 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, what does the foot say? Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not the eye, so I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, that's foolishness. Well, my eye says I'm not the ear says I'm not the foot, so I guess we're really not part. No, we are all members of the body. And we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. The only one that didn't have any weaknesses was Jesus Christ. Period. You and I all have weaknesses. What makes for a good marriage is where one is weak, the other is strong, and vice versa. That's covenant. And that makes, you know, for good relationships. So we need to find out where our strengths lie and where our weaknesses are at. and be open to one another, being used of the Lord to speak into our lives. Amen? One of the signs of oneness happening in the body of Christ overall is Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. And I want to read that to you and we'll close. Ephesians 4, verse 13 reads, "Till we all come," back up to 12, "for the perfecting of the saints," these are what these five ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are given for. Verse 12, "for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith," or the Greek word there means the oneness of the faith. The latter end of that definition means into agreement regarding the faith, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a mature man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." One of the things that you're going to see in the body of Christ is more oneness as we mature. You say, well, why do I have to be the one that's always wanting and will be willing to walk in unity and others are not? Just write it down. If you're willing to walk in unity with others, I don't mean compromising what the Word says, but I mean loving people and not getting into disagreements and separating yourself from them because of a petty misunderstanding from the Word of God or something. You know what you do when you want to separate over some petty disagreement? You show how immature you are. The more mature you are, the more you are able to handle little differences, understanding that those differences, they're not the end of the world. Well, I think the body of Christ, has some members are better than others. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Well, I think we don't have authority over the devil. Well, that's not true either, but you know what? If you love Jesus Christ and you're born again and have received him into your heart, you're a brother or a sister in Christ, and I'm commanded through and by this word to find a place of agreement with you, to walk in unity and love with you, and not let little petty disagreements separate us. Now, if you come along and say Jesus is not God, he never was deity, you don't need to accept him into your heart to be saved, all you need to do is bow down and crack coconuts and go wash in the river Ganges 42 times, and that will produce salvation. Now, you are wrong, and I will not have fellowship with that. I'm not going to have fellowship with somebody that denies that Jesus is Lord. Now, I will witness to them. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I will be kind to them. I will treat them with the love of Jesus in order to win them, but I will not have fellowship, close fellowship with somebody like that. Now, somebody say, well, how are we ever going to win the world? You win them by witnessing to them and being an epistle read of them. You don't sit down and have meals with them all the time. There may come a time when you do that, because you want to share Christ, you want to be a good example, but you need to be very cautious of that, because if you are one who's not strong enough and you start hanging out with somebody who's has that much, you know, demonic stuff hanging on them, they're not living for the Lord, they could pull you back into something you don't want to be a part of. I've seen it happen. All under the guise, under the banner of I want to have unity with people and I want to be walk in love. And next thing you know, well, the Lord told me to go to the strip club with him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, uh-huh, sure he did. Sure he did. No, he didn't. That got a world-famous evangelist in trouble. And his marriage went away. He got divorced, wife divorced him. And now he repented later on and I think was remarried to somebody else, but man, it destroyed a lot of stuff because of stupidity like that. We want unity one with another, but we will not do it at the expense of compromising what the Word says. Amen. 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 But one last point I want to make to you on that unity thing and walking in symphony with others. I shouldn't have tried to exalt my gift above the others. I shouldn't have just broke into something because I've got to show them. Do you ever see that video on the internet, the guy with the drums, and he's got the cymbals are real high? Look it up. It's hilarious. This guy has cymbals that are like not down here where a normal drummer has them. They're like up here, so he had to stand up to hit them. And he's doing that, and he's twirling the sticks, and this girl's trying to sing. It's like a nightclub lounge. They're doing some kind of old song or whatever, and it's kind of soft. And he breaks into all this drum solo stuff, showing his talent, don't you know? It's hilarious. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? I thought, this has to be a joke. And it's like, I don't think it's a joke. The girl didn't know where to go, and the keyboard player was like, oh, my gosh. And this guy, and he's flashy, and he's swinging, and he's, yeah. Look it up. Tell me what you think. Let's bow our heads, go before the Lord. Father, we thank you that we will not exalt ourselves and the gift that's in us. We'll let the gift, Proverbs 18, verse 16, make room for us. Let the gift make room. Let your anointing open the doors. Let your anointing flow through us, not having to be the one that gets to showcase their gift. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you and give you the glory for the members of this body flowing in the giftings that they have and for the body growing together and being knit together in love. And sir, we just yield to you. As in any good marriage, we decide we're going to yield to you and let that yielding transfer to one another and prefer one another in love and do that. And so we bless you tonight and we praise you and thank you for unity, for agreement, for two walking together, being appointed to walk together. And doing it in love, understanding the pathway may not always be smooth, but we will continue on that pathway together. And so we bless you tonight and give you glory tonight and thanksgiving as we together make a symphony before you, sir, in agreement and in harmony. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If y'all can agree, say amen.